Amen. Thank you, Pastor Wade. God is good. I want you to turn in Romans chapter 11. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. As we do that, we're going to be reading some scriptures today about Israel. Thank the Lord. He is good. He is good. His presence is here, guys. His presence is here. And today, in the brief moments that we have in God's Word, I want to especially ask, this is something that we always ask for, but I want to especially ask that there be as little movement around the sanctuary as possible, because we have just a few moments to really concentrate and focus on what I consider to be some very, very important truths that will line us up with what God is doing and saying for us at this hour. The timing of this trip is, as Pastor Wade has said, is not coincidence. There are some things that are aligning according to Scripture, not because I say it, but because Scripture says it. And we need to be able to situate ourselves in what God is doing. How many of you know that we are not the ones that determine what God does? Amen. He does what He does, okay? And we are the ones who decide whether we're going to be in it or not, okay? But in order to be in it, we have to know what He's doing. Okay, and so this week is going to be a very, very powerful week. I'm going to take some time to explain that to you from the Word, okay? And yet it is also a time where we need to take very seriously what God is saying. It's a very serious thing. I've shared with Pastor Wade that I believe that this assignment to Israel is probably the most important assignment we've ever received up until now. The Lord has taken us all over the world, every inhabited continent, to see His move and to participate in that. But I really believe that what is happening now is the greatest thing that we have seen up until now. And so, therefore, we need prayer, and I want to explain to you what's happening. Okay? Amen. Praise God. At the same time, you know, should there be any pastoral needs that arise as we're gone, I'd like for you to contact the office, and the office will contact either Pastor Dave or one of the other leaders to minister. We know that the congregational needs need to be ministered to as well, even as we go. In response to your generosity, I mean, God is blessed, and we're able to go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Romans 11, chapter 11, verses 11 through 15, say some very, very powerful things that we need to understand so that we can understand the current spiritual reality, okay? We need to understand the current spiritual reality as concerns Israel and how it relates to us. You know, I believe that many Christians really are excited about what God is doing in Israel and want to see God do more, but we don't really see how that connects to us, okay? We don't really see what the relationship with us is in those things. And so, you know, we don't fully take advantage of what God has because we don't understand. One of my goals this morning is to very briefly bring some understanding as to where we are. We are in exciting times. Okay? Romans chapter 11, verse 11, it starts talking about Israel. And Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, the Jewish apostle to the Gentiles, is addressing the issue of what is the relationship between Israel and the church. And so let's look at that together. I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? Paul's referring to Israel. He said, may it never be. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. Now, if their transgression is riches for the world, and their failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? But I am speaking to you who are Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. The first thing that I want to highlight about this is there is a very powerful word spoken there in verse 15, and it's good to leave it up there like you are, Jairus. Verse 15 says a very strong word there. It says, for if their rejection. We need to understand that after the resurrection of Jesus, and after he ascended and sent his apostles and his people to witness and to speak to Israel, at some point after the resurrection of Jesus, there was a breaking off of the Jewish people who did not believe in Jesus Messiah, okay, from their own olive tree. That's what this passage is talking about. There was a breaking off. This came forth as a rejection. That is a powerful word. It is a very hurtful word. You know, the deepest wounds in all of history are all connected with the word rejection. You know, today in the world we see Islam, and I don't know how aware you are of this. You might be very well aware of this. The historical enmity between Islam and Israel, and consequently with the United States, because we have stood in support of Israel, has to do with a rejection. Okay? It has to do with the fact that Isaac was the chosen one and Ishmael was not. Okay? The very seed of the enmity there between Islam and Israel lies in that their ancestor, Ishmael, was not the one chosen to carry on with the redemptive plan of God on the earth. That came through Isaac, and Israel came through Isaac. Jesus came through Israel, okay? And so, in fact, the Quran talks about that it was Ishmael that Abraham offered up as a sacrifice, figuratively speaking, rather than Isaac. You know, in that, you see the whole root of it, the whole root of the problem is in their feeling rejected. Okay? Historic enmities always have to do with rejection issues. Yes. You know, the deepest rooted issues in a family always have to do with perceived or real rejection. Okay? Now, in Messiah, in Jesus, we have reconciliation. Okay? We have the power to overcome rejection. And that's something that the Lord is doing in this church, by the way. I really believe that God is using this church to reach out to our community in a way that we touch people who have felt rejected, and we're bringing them the message of reconciliation, that God is concerned for them just as he is as much for anybody else, okay? He loves them as much as he does anybody else. And the power of the Holy Spirit backs that up as that message of reconciliation goes forth through God's anointed people in this church. The message of the gospel is reconciliation, but we need to understand that in order for us to receive the ministry of reconciliation, Israel suffered rejection. Okay? Israel suffered rejection. At some point after the resurrection of Jesus, I don't think the scripture clearly defines exactly when it happened, but there was rejection, okay? And so for an ensuing period, well, right after that rejection happened, in within 20 years, Jerusalem was completely leveled and by the Romans, and the Jewish people were scattered all over the face of the earth, in such a way that after the year 70 AD, there is hardly any ministry of or any numbers of Jewish believers in Israel. They were so thoroughly scattered. Very few Jewish people in Israel for that ensuing almost 1900 years. Okay? And so what Paul describes as the rejection or the breaking off of the natural branches, you know, that ushered in a period of almost 1,900 years of just complete destruction hatred and persecution of the Jewish people. Okay? It culminated, it didn't start, it culminated with the event that we know as the Holocaust, when through Adolf Hitler and those who were serving his wishes, and really actually the devil's wishes through that man, okay, approximately 6 million Jews were burned, you know, in the ovens of places like Auschwitz and other concentration camps in Europe. What was the desire of the devil? He wanted to completely extirpate and exterminate and kill and destroy Israel. That's what he wanted to do. That was the stated goal. Okay? That was the stated goal. But it had been for almost 1,900 years where there was rejection. Wherever they would go, wherever they would go, all throughout the Middle East and all throughout, especially the northern lands of Russia and other places, and also in Western Europe, wherever the Jewish people would be, there would eventually be some form of persecution and destruction that would come to them. Okay? So the history of the people of Israel since the resurrection of Jesus until recently has been the most sad history of any people group in all of history. 1,900 years. I mean, it's only by the power of God that there is any Israel left. Okay? You know, and so this time of their being rejected because of their unbelief, it says in another verse of this same passage, because they did not choose to believe in Jesus as their Messiah, they were broken off their own natural olive tree, and reconciliation came to the world. Okay? Because of their rejection, reconciliation came to us as Gentile peoples. And just to define Gentile, that's basically anyone who's not a Jewish person. Okay? That's most of us in here, perhaps all of us, I don't know. All right? We received reconciliation, they received rejection. Okay? And we need to understand that so that we can understand the next scripture that I'm going to read to you, because it will only make sense. The next scripture, part of it will only make sense if we understand what is the context of what's being said here. Okay? 1,900 years, the people of Israel, the people of the covenants, the people through whom Messiah came to earth, have been persecuted, have been destroyed, have been consumed in the most vile and horrible ways that people could even imagine. Okay? Unimaginable things happened up to 1945 in Europe. Okay? But then something began to happen that is astonishing, and it's supernatural, and it's something that cannot be described in any other way other than just the sovereign hand of God. Okay? Because as Israel reached its deepest, darkest point of suffering after the Holocaust, that ended in 1945 as the American and Russian armies and British armies came and set them free, whoever was left from the concentration camps in Europe. In 3 short years, you know, a people that seemed to be too destroyed, too shattered, too weak to ever rise up again, in 3 short years, against every historical precedent that had ever happened before, in 1945, they had been the victims of almost complete destruction. Half of all the Jewish people in the world died during the Holocaust. But 3 short years later, according to the sovereign purposes of God, Israel was reestablished as a nation. I mean, and if you understand the historical concept or context of that, it becomes astonishing. Okay? When it seemed like there was no way for that people to rise again, God began to call them home to Israel, and approximately 500,000 Jews came to the land of Israel around 1948, and they declared their independence in 1948, 70 years ago, Okay? They declared their independence, and for the first time in almost 1900 years, there was an Israel again. You know, out of the place of complete, almost complete and utter destruction, utter devastation, out of that place of rejection, they begin to arise in a way that Jeremiah describes in two passages. He says, he prophesies, I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but he prophesies there in a paraphrased version, he prophesies that in the last days, God would bring back his people. Hallelujah. He would bring back his people from the lands of the north, okay? And he would do this in such a way that would be so miraculous, okay? It would be so miraculous that people would not even consider and remember the redemption of Israel from Egypt back in ancient times with Moses. That this would be far greater. Wow. It says that in two different places. So 1948 started something new, okay? And so we need to understand there has been a historical rejection that happened according to God's word. In that, we received reconciliation. Now, can you imagine, you know, how painful it would be? You know, for if I think of Pastor Dave as being a Jewish person, you know, God himself coming to Pastor Dave, that I've got a great blessing for you, but because you don't believe, you're not going to receive it. I reject you from that blessing, and it's going to go to a people who've never known me. Yeah. It's going to go to a people that have never understood who I am. They don't know who the God of Israel is. It's going to go to the rest of the world. Through their rejection, reconciliation came to the world. Okay? 1948 is when Israel was reestablished as a nation. Now, tomorrow is the very day when 70 years of Israel as a nation is completed. 70 years. 70 years, 70 is a very significant number in the history of Israel, okay? For many different reasons. One of them being that 70 was the number of years that they were in captivity, okay? There were 70 that were sent out to reach out to all the villages and towns of Israel by Jesus. There were 70 elders in the camp in the days of Moses. And if we had a long time to explain all that to you, it's highly significant, okay? But that would take a long time. We're not going to do that. We're going to hit the broad strokes today. Okay, so what Paul is telling us here is that God has not finally rejected his people, but reconciliation has come to the Gentiles in order that jealousy might come to Israel. He's not giving them, he's not giving up on them, okay? There is a strain of Christianity that believes that God has no further purposes for Israel, that after they were rejected, that was the end of it, and basically now there is no more Israel in God's plan. If you ever hear the term replacement theology, that's what it is. We just defined it, okay? But Paul says that that did not happen. He's saying, no, reconciliation is coming to all the Gentiles in order to move Israel to jealousy. Yes. Amen. 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 Why are they supposed to be moved to jealousy? So they can want the same thing. Amen. Receive their Messiah, Jesus Christ. There's only one path to heaven for Jew and Gentile. It is through Jesus Christ. No one who does not receive the Son has eternal life, okay? Jew or Gentile. But we have received reconciliation, okay? And the gospel is going forth all over the world. We have received that in order to move them to jealousy, okay? And so even in that, we see that there is a future purpose for what God wants to do with that nation. 70 years are completed tomorrow. Another very important thing is that officially the United States Embassy to Israel is being formally moved to Jerusalem and opened to in Jerusalem tomorrow. Amen. That also is a very significant thing. Now, you guys know that here in this church, I do not talk about politics. You guys know that. Okay. Every president since Harry Truman has said that the embassy should be in Jerusalem. But now, finally, this president has gone beyond saying it and actually done it. Okay. And it will be open tomorrow. Every single one has said that it should be done. This one actually did it. Okay. It's going to happen tomorrow. And there is a connection in that. Why am I mentioning something that seems to be a political event? Because it has spiritual significance to us in helping us understand the moment that we're living. Because this coming week is a very significant and strategic week in the plan of God. Okay? Now look with me in Psalms 102. That's going to be our next scripture, and we're going to talk about that. Psalms 102. Amen. Are you with me? God is about to do some awesome things on the earth, and I believe that he's got some awesome things to do in the United States of America if we will recognize the hour of our visitation. Okay? In fact, if there were to be a title to this message, that might be part of the title. Recognize the hour of our visitation. Recognize it. It's very important that we do that. Okay, Psalm 102, verses 12 through 18. It says there, "But you, O Lord, abide forever, and your name to all generations. You will arise and have compassion on Zion." Zion means Jerusalem for our purposes today. "For it is time to be gracious to her." Hallelujah. After almost 1,900 years of destruction, devastation, rejection, there is a time to be gracious to Jerusalem once again. Okay? There is a time that God sets. It's not one that I would decide upon. It's not something that any man has the authority to decide. It's something that God designates because he understands all the purposes that he has in the ages. And he just says here in this psalm, "You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to be gracious to her, for the appointed time has come." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the appointed time has come. Church, I want to tell you today that the appointed time for the Lord to move and be gracious to Jerusalem and Israel is arriving this very week. Hallelujah. It is arriving this very week. It is a time that is supposed to happen in the plan of God. It is an appointed time. We're going to see some of why this is. "You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to be gracious to her, for the appointed time has come." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He has got some awesome things. I want to tell you, God has not rejected Israel. Amen. God has not rejected Israel. How many of you know the scripture that says that the gifts and callings of God are irreversible? Okay? You know that? How many of you believe that applies to you? You believe that applies to you? Okay? No trick questions today, Pastor Wade. Okay? But you know who it was stated to originally? Israel. What's the point that I'm trying to make with that? How can I know if God rejected Israel because they didn't believe? How can I know that he won't change his mind about me? If he changed his mind about them, why won't he do it again? No, our God never changes. Our God never changes. His callings and his giftings are irrevocable. Israel plays an immense part in the fulfillment of the ages. In fact, it's all wrapped up in Israel, actually. It's not just plays an immense part. It's all wrapped up in Israel. This is why the devil wants to destroy Israel, okay? because he knows the scripture better than many Christians do. And he knows how important it is and how necessary their reconciliation is in order for the character of God throughout the ages to be rightly expressed.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I mean, if there is no reconciliation with Israel, then God started something with that people and was unable to carry it out. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God's dealings with Israel are meant to be a demonstration of the surety of his covenant with us. Hallelujah. It's meant to be that. It's meant to assure us. As we see what he does with Israel, we know with assurance that everything that he has said about his new covenant with us is also sure. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so the appointed time has come. Hallelujah. Surely your servants find pleasure in her stones and feel pity for her dust. How many here are servants of the Lord? Are you a servant of the Lord? Okay, well, Psalms 102 says something that we're supposed to be moving into in order to align ourselves with what God is doing at our time. He has already begun to restore the fortunes of Israel. He's already begun to bring people in Israel to himself, to Jesus Messiah. 24 years ago, when we started working with the Israeli congregations, there were fewer than 1,000 Jewish believers in Jesus in all of Israel. There was approximately 700 to 800 as far as anyone knew. That's all there was. Okay? But in these ensuing 24 years, there are now 16,000 believers in Jesus in Israel. Jewish believers in Israel. Hallelujah. It has multiplied almost 20-fold in these 24 years. Thank you, Lord. Something is stirring. The appointed time was approaching, but now the appointed time has come. Okay? And how do we align ourselves with what God is doing? Well, this scripture gives us some instruction on that. Surely your servants find pleasure in her stones and feel pity for her dust. Hallelujah. Okay? I'm not going to elaborate too much on this. But the stones in the Bible have to do with leadership giftings, okay? Have to do with leadership giftings. The house is built with stones. God's house is built. We're all living stones, okay? Feel pity for her dust. What is the dust of Jerusalem? Well, what is man formed out of? Man was shaped out of dust. So when it says here in Psalms 102:14 that we find pleasure in her stones and feel pity for her dust, what we're supposed to understand is that God is calling us to compassion for the Jewish people.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. He's calling us to take pity on their long-term suffering. Almost 1,900 years of destruction, like unlike any other in all of history on the face of the earth, is what's happened to Israel. We, as God's servants, are to take pity on that situation, and we are to begin to release our prayers and our hearts in praying that more and more of them, more and more Jewish people, will receive revelation of who Messiah is and turn to him with all of their hearts. Okay? As we do that, okay, as we do that, something immensely powerful is going to begin to be released. Hallelujah. That is exactly what will be taking place in the consultation this week, where those that leaders in Israel recognize as apostles and prophets from across the world are going to be coming together in order to find the way that we should align ourselves according to Scripture in order to release God's full end time blessing upon Israel. Hallelujah. There must be pleasure in her stones and pity for her dust on the part of the servants of the Lord. Amen. 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 And you say, well, Pastor Jim, what does that have to do with me? You know, have you ever been in a situation where someone was rejected and someone else was favored? Have you ever seen that happen? Doesn't that move you to pity towards the one who was rejected? Isn't that the most natural thing that we should sense or experience? You know, as we reach out to others, you know, perhaps we have been accepted in family relationships, but we're moving to others that have been rejected in family relationships. What should we feel? Compassion. We should feel pity in that situation and reach out and minister to them. That's what we should do. Well, the Lord is saying this is what happened with Israel and his servants. He is calling at this time to release prayers that are moved by compassion for Israel, that are moved by the pity of what they have gone through. Amen. This is what precedes what's going to happen next in this passage. You say, Pastor Jim, what does this have to do with me in Beulahville, North Carolina? Well, first of all, the Word of God says that I'm supposed to have that. Okay? If I'm a servant of the Lord, I am supposed to surely take pleasure in her stones and feel pity for her dust. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to be envious or jealous of them. I'm not supposed to be threatened by them. I'm not supposed to be insecure that if they are blessed, that somehow that's going to mean that I'm less. Okay? That is not the way we're supposed to respond. We're supposed to feel pity for her dust. Okay? And then something is going to happen. It says there in Psalm 102, hallelujah, that affects us. As we, the servants of the Lord, do that, it says, so the nations will fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth your glory. Amen. Hallelujah. For the Lord has built up Zion. He has appeared in his glory. Hallelujah. What's going to happen as we receive, as we have pity and pray and extend prayer for Israel and for the Jewish people to be reconciled and not rejected, all the earth, all the nations of the earth are going to receive and are going to fear the Lord. God is going to release worldwide revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's going to release worldwide revival as the servants of the Lord are moved by pleasure for the stones of Jerusalem and by pity for her dust. Yes. Hallelujah. Why is this important this week? Because this week is 70 years of the restoration of Israel as a nation. And it's also the week of what we call Pentecost. Yes. Hallelujah. It's what we know as Pentecost. I understand you experienced a little bit of Pentecost this week, Shane. Yeah, that's what I understand. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? You know, filled with the Holy Spirit this week as people were praying with him. Why is that possible? Because it was released on the day of Pentecost almost 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. This is the week of Pentecost, what in Hebrew is called Shavuot, okay? It marks the harvest. It is the strategic alignment. It is the appointed time for people to gather in Jerusalem and pray for the restoration of God's people. As that happens, not only is the reconciliation happening with them, and I want to proclaim today that I believe with all of my heart that we're going to see a very quick and rapid multiplication of the numbers of Jewish people that are going to be turning to Jesus Messiah in the land of Israel. And this is the week where the alignment of God's purposes is taking place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Pastor Jim, you think that you're really important and that you're really big and that you're going to go over there and you're going to... No, that's not what I think at all. I think that God has aligned his purposes for this time, and that's why I need to get myself over there so I can be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Okay? As an 11 or 12-year-old boy, I remember I want to honor my mother. She gave me a book that was appropriate for that age about Israel and what God was doing, you know, in the nation of Israel. And something happened inside of me as an 11 and 12-year-old kid with the nation of Israel. Now, here we are, 44, 45 years later, we're going to Jerusalem, hallelujah, in the week of Pentecost, according to the Jewish calendar. And God has aligned and has declared this is the appointed time. Amen. This is the appointed time for the next worldwide outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If you guys aren't careful, you're going to get me preaching here. Hallelujah. This is the time. This is the time. You know, in the first time at first Pentecost, let me say, there were Jewish men from all over the face of the earth who were there, who were present. Okay, and who received the opportunity to receive the message and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Why was that happening? So that that message about Jesus Messiah could quickly go forth through them all over the face of the earth. Okay, now something amazing is happening. The gospel has gone forth to almost all the nations. And now people are assembling from all over the world back to Jerusalem to call out to the Father for the reconciliation of his people, to take pleasure in the stones of Jerusalem and to have pity on her dust. Hallelujah. In that is the releasing of a mighty worldwide revival and downpouring of the Holy Spirit that God is ushering in at this time. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm about so happy up here, Pastor Wade. I don't know what to do with myself. Hallelujah. This is the season. Now, here is something that is particularly powerful, I believe, for the United States of America. Once again, we don't politicize in this church, but occasionally political acts do have biblical significance. Okay? They do. This action of moving the embassy to Jerusalem is one such example.
It is.
Okay? Because as the government of our country has decided to align with Jerusalem, it is aligning itself with God's purposes for that city. Hallelujah. Amen. And here's something that I want to say that is just so bubbling up inside of me. I'm telling you, God is giving us in America a special window of opportunity to cry out to him, not only for Israel, but for the United States of America. It's coming because we have chosen to align ourselves with God's purposes. It has nothing to do with political parties. It has nothing to do with leaders. It has everything to do with aligning with what God has declared he wants to do. And because we have decided that we want to do it, that we're going to do it as a people, as a nation, through our leadership, God is giving us a window of visitation. I proclaim it to you today. This is a week to separate ourselves to seek the face of God. It's time for us to say that other things are not more important. It's time for us to recognize the hour of our visitation. It's time to ask God to pour out his Spirit on America, on Duplin County, on Beulahville, like in such a way as that we've never seen it before. There is favor upon the United States of America because of our aligning ourselves with Scripture. Does any leader even know that? I have no idea. And it's not important. Not important. Just important that we do what the Word says. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this week, let's separate ourselves to seek God for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The appointed time has come. Israel is going to be released into a greater demonstration and knowing of the Lord. Israel is going to be released into that. And as that happens, things will happen on a worldwide scale. Because what will their reconciliation be but life from the dead? Hallelujah. Worldwide downpouring of the Holy Spirit happening in Jesus' name. This is the appointed time. Hallelujah. This is the appointed time, guys. Now, Pastor Dave is going to be speaking on Wednesday concerning these topics as God leads him. Okay? And I really want to invite people to come to Wednesday night. Because it's important that we spend this week pursuing what God wants to do. There are times of visitation. In special times, you let go of other less important things for a season, for some days, in order not to miss what we have. Hallelujah. Now, Acts chapter 2 is going to be our last scripture. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. This is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. It says in Acts 2, verse 16, "And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind." Hallelujah. Now, on the first day of Pentecost, did God pour forth of his spirit on all mankind? No, he didn't. Okay? Trick questions. Hallelujah. Sorry. I'm trying to avoid them. No, he didn't. He poured his spirit upon Jewish people who were from all nations. Okay? But he didn't pour his spirit upon all of mankind. Hallelujah. The first day of Pentecost was a declaration of what would happen. It would start in Jerusalem, okay? And he would pour out his spirit there. And by having people from all the nations there, it was a declaration of war in the spirit. Now this gospel has been released and it's going to go forth all over the face of the earth. And no power of the enemy is going to be able to stop it. Hallelujah. Nothing can hold it back. Until it reaches every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people group. But it wasn't the ultimate fulfillment. It was the prophetic fulfillment of what it goes on to say through the prophet Joel. "It shall be in the last days," God says, "that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind." Hallelujah. Worldwide revival is coming. Worldwide downpouring of the Holy Spirit. We think we saw it in Azusa Street. That was just a small thing compared to what God's going to do in these days. Amen. This is the time. This is the hour. This is the appointed season when God's going to move. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. He is so good to us. Amen. "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Hallelujah. "Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." And then the next thing is the last thing that I want to emphasize before we pray. Okay? "And I will grant wonders in the sky above, and signs on the earth below." Hallelujah. There's going to be a release of the power of the Spirit of God in such a way that we have never seen before. I'm telling you, God's Spirit is in this room right now. If you're sick, you might be healed right now just by hearing the Word of God and responding to it in faith. Oh, hallelujah. If you're sick, if you're hurting, why don't you raise your hand to the Lord and say, "God, heal me in Jesus' name. Command that pain to be gone in Jesus' name." There's going to be signs and wonders such as we have never seen before on the face of the earth. In this last day, downpouring of the Holy Spirit, healed in Jesus' name, healed in Jesus. That pain has to go. It's gone. It's gone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He is good. He is good. He is good. I want to ask you to stand with me right now. Oh, worldwide revival, worldwide downpouring of the Spirit is coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to ask right now, just everyone look at me, please. No one moving around, please. I don't know if there's anyone here right now that wants to say, I want to declare Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior for the very first time, or I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. If there's anyone that wants to do that, I want to tell you, He has a life of power. He has a life of excitement. He has a life for you that is abundant in ways that you never experienced before if you don't know Him. If you've fallen away from the Father's house and you know that you need to come back, I invite you. I'm just going to ask, is there anyone that wants to do that? If you want to, raise your hand right now in Jesus' name, and we're going to pray with you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Is there anyone else that, yes, God bless you. God bless you. Is there anyone else that wants to do that? I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is being released in reconciliation. God bless you, young man. Hallelujah. Someone's going to go and pray with you as we get ready to sing and praise the Lord. He is here. He is here. God is there anyone else? Is there anyone else that needs to do that? Yes. God bless you, young man. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. He is here. He is here. Guys, church, this is a week to get with it in our prayer lives. This is a week to get with it in what God is doing. This is a week for us to lay aside as much as possible other things and to come before Him and say, oh Lord, we cry out to you, Lord. Touch your people, Israel. Open up their eyes to see, Lord, the glory of Jesus Christ, your Son. Hallelujah. As we do things like that, the result of that is going to be that the nations are going to come to Him. Hallelujah. God's going to release new Holy Spirit fire and power in Grace Covenant Church, and we're going to be able to reach out to people like we never have before, because the Holy Spirit will go with us with signs and wonders as we share the gospel. Hallelujah! 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 Get ready! Get ready! Get ready! The appointed hour has come! The appointed time has come! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The appointed time has come! His Spirit is being released in our midst. Oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. If you're hungry for more of the Holy Spirit, just raise your hand together with me and say, Lord, I need more. I need more. I need more. I need more of you. I need more of you, God. I need more of your Spirit in my life. Hallelujah. As we take pity upon the dust of Jerusalem, as we take pleasure in her stones, as we rejoice in that people are placed as living stones in the house of God in Israel, God will release worldwide revival. Hallelujah! 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 Their rejection was our reconciliation, that our acceptance of them will release something all over the face of the earth. Oh, it's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. God has got, I'm telling you, God is calling some young people in this place to lay down the past and old flames that you've carried, and to take up and to receive this mantle of carrying forth the gospel all over the face of the earth, anywhere that He wants to send you. I'm telling you, there are young people in this place that He is calling to Himself. He is calling to Himself. Samuel, I want to tell you, God can use you. He can use you not only here, but He can use you in the nations. He is powerful to raise you up. He is powerful to anoint you. and to cause you to be a powerful witness for him. Hallelujah. Son, I want to tell you, you've seen some good things, but you haven't seen anything yet. Lay aside the old flames, lay aside the old things, and take up his gospel. Hallelujah. And God will anoint you. God will anoint you. God will anoint you. God will anoint you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Miriam, I want to tell you, God is calling you to cry out to him for Israel. Oh, hallelujah. There are things that have happened in your life that have been allowed to happen so that you would be prepared to bring reconciliation where there has been rejection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has called you to a ministry of reconciliation. He has called you to something powerful. He has allowed certain things so that he could then take you, heal you, and release mighty things. Hallelujah. Through your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sierra, I want to tell you, God is telling you, if you'll lay down the old flames, if you'll lay down the old flames, he will anoint you like you have never dreamed. He will anoint you, and you will carry this gospel, and you will carry this anointing, and you will carry this spirit to many places, and even to places of influence, he says to you this day. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. His spirit is here. Come on. His spirit is here. Let's raise up our hands and praise him. Let's just declare that he is God, that he is God, that he is God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Kim, I want to tell you, the enemy would try to tell you that you are rejected. The enemy would try to tell you that you are less. He would try to tell you that you're not enough. But I want to tell you, there are powerful things that he has for you. If you will lay down the old flames, if you will lay down the things that you have carried from the past, he will anoint you. He will separate you to himself. And I'm telling you, he'll do great things in your life. In Jesus' name, lay down those things. Reject rejection. Reject rejection. Reject rejection. And his Holy Spirit power will fill your life. Come on, let's raise up our hands. Let's praise God. Come on, let's see something move in our area. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord.